Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this week's Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry.
And Larry, first of all, we want to let the folks know we've been away for a couple of weeks. In the last episode we had, we kind of forgot to turn the video on.
Yeah.
So we stuck old school to the audio podcast. So I want to apologize to folks for that. And also, Larry, just introduce them to the new set. We're trying some new ideas here. We're trying to figure out what might be the best look for the show. So what do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm still mad at Phil for screwing up the last show, but
what can you do?
Better straighten your
You get what you pay for, which ain't much.
No, but this is great.
Yes. And absolutely. See, the other thing we have to figure out here is get our production assistants in a row. Because as you can see, Larry, now that we don't have a desk in front of us, it means we have to wear pants.
Oh, my God. He actually outed us.
See, Larry at least is wearing the Je suis Charlie, the solidarity with the First Amendment anti-savagery shirt.
Yep.
But he also remembered to wear a pair of jeans. Larry, just show up and show your cock to the folks. There you go.
There it is.
See, but you know how Big Fat John dresses for the show? He wears his Punisher t-shirt, and then he wears his shitty little sweatpants.
And,
so, because obviously.
And his dogs are barking.
Yeah. Obviously, because last time all I had to do was remember to keep my underwear on, and basically we were good. Yeah. But now I can't even have that luxury anymore, Larry.
And John doesn't clean his underwear because he thinks flies are lucky.
So nice.
There we go.
Nice. Absolutely. All right. So, we're going to be working on the set as we get more and more into future shows, Larry.
Okay.
But just so the folks know, don't adjust your YouTube or whatever. We're doing okay. By the way, speaking of that, new set, same pimping. Go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. Check us out there. You can even check out the old sets, video and audio, synopses of past shows. Check out where we come from, Larry. And then on top of that, go to social media. That would be going to Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. And Larry, also Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow. And of course, Phil, do we even have the Scrollo podcasts anymore? Yes? No? Maybe?
You lose that too.
Doesn't matter. Whatever. I'll run them off. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic, Player FM, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, TuneIn. Basically, if there's a podcast platform, we're on it. Just search for That Riot Show. That Riot Show on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Okay. Oh, by the way, we're shooting back up the rankings on Podomatic in particular. Even though they have us listed under the conservative talk, Larry, instead of, they don't have a libertarian section, so somebody just plopped us in conservative. But we're in there. We've cracked the top 100 of conservative shows. So hopefully we'll keep that March. I want to thank everybody out there for contributing to that.
Thank you. Very nice.
Larry will suck your cock, if you so desire, in writing.
Come down to the studio.
Has to be in writing, though.
Yes.
For legal purposes.
Yeah, it has to be notarized.
With jizz.
With the big...
Anyway. All right, Larry. All so right.
Speaking of big cock.
Speaking of big cocks.
Donald Trump.
Who doesn't have one, probably, allegedly, perhaps.
The best healthcare plan.
But... the first blow against Trump and his against actually his rubism, and that would be that the healthcare bill, the Obamacare Lite, Obamacare 2.0, otherwise known socialism on wheels, heading towards full communism, Larry.
Yes.
However you want to describe this shitty bill that the Republicans, hashtag Republicans, put out there, didn't even come up for a vote, Larry.
Nope.
This shitty fucking plan that was nothing more than a political ploy after 8 years of shitting on Obamacare, as was appropriate, because that was a shitty health care plan. Larry, as we've been saying all along, they had no real replace.
No.
You know, they just cobbled something together. Even that idiot Trump was quoted a couple of times as saying, "This is hard." Who knew healthcare could be this hard? Like, who knew, you fucking idiot?
Jesus.
Of course, right? But the bill got pulled, not even for a vote.
Right. Paul Ryan went and visited Herr Trump, and he had to tell him the bad news, which is we don't have the votes.
Right.
They could afford to lose about 20, 21 votes. I think it was from the Republican side. None of the Democrats were going to vote
obviously
for it. So they could afford to lose like that many Republicans, and they were way past that. In fact, one article I read said it was going to be really embarrassing.
Yeah.
That they would have had almost like half of them might have said.
Yeah.
And so it was really, this is, and look, this is important. This is Trump's first legislative attempt. He's not signing executive orders here,
right,
like a fascist idiot. So now he tries to put through the health care. It fails. And, you know, you, not only are you going back to the drawing board, but then you're stuck with now the Affordable Care Act, the aforementioned Obamacare.
Yeah.
That's the law of the land right now. And that thing is a mess. And this all falls into my prediction from about like a year ago that all this mess, the repeal and the replace. Now, I mean, this is amazing for two reasons.
Right.
Number one, if you're the Republicans, how do you fuck this up?
Yeah.
It passed in 2010. Okay. All along, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Romney ran against it, even though we had the same stupid thing in Massachusetts. And then you run on this, Trump gets elected, you still don't have a bill. You still have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. He gets inaugurated, you've got nothing. How can you have nothing?
Right.
How can you run on this and not have something ready to go? Like, this, to me, is contrary.
Just
but it goes to show you, like, the politicians are, like, such assholes. Like,
yeah.
It was just like a theme for a campaign. Like, it's...
Republican scruples go only so far as to say we're in charge instead of the Democrats. And really, they had no replacement. They have no plan. The only one who had a plan was Rand Paul.
Who was ignored.
Who was barred from the fucking House physically, okay?
Oh, man.
And listen... For all you assholes who said, why vote for a Libertarian? Why vote for Gary Johnson? Why give Libertarians access, Larry? They're just a fringe party.
Yeah.
Guess who was responsible for blocking the implementation of this shitty Obamacare Lite? Score one for the good guys.
Yeah.
It was the House Freedom Caucus, all right? The, Justin Amash, that somebody we're very high on. Hopefully he'll decide to run. Thomas Massie. And the rest of the Freedom Caucus in the House put their foot down. In addition, you had Rand Paul saying, even if it passes the House somehow, we're blocking it in the Senate. Rand Paul, Cruz to a huge extent, right?
Yeah.
Mike Lee, the more libertarian / true conservative Republican, saying, we're not going to let this piece of shit pass. Okay. Combine that with solid Democratic opposition, which, by the way, for some reason, Trump was surprised that no Democrat voted for this.
Yeah.
Or was going to vote for it. Like, what a fucking idiot.
Where's he been since he got inaugurated? And as I predicted back then, I told him Chuck Schumer, I said back then, is setting himself up to be the number one anti-Trump guy. He is clearly going away. The leader, he's taken the mantle from Harry Reid, who retired,
and led
the charge against this. And I saw him the other day with a shit-eating grin on his face. Meanwhile, and Pelosi too. And meanwhile, we're still stuck with Obamacare. And, you know, something that I said a while back was All of this is going to lead us to eventually, we're going to wind up with, I believe that this is what it's going to be in 2020. I don't know if Elizabeth Warren is running.
Right.
Where you're going to see a big push now for the single payer healthcare system, which is socialism. But you're going to, nothing is working right now. Premiums are nuts. Deductibles are nuts. Nobody can afford anything. The system that we have right now, it, like most people get it through their private company or they work for, it's not working. The cost is nuts. We have too many poor people working who can't even afford shit. It's going to be, at some point, I'm telling you right now, someone's going to step forward, and I think it's going to be the next election. Whether it's, it probably won't be Bernie. He's a little too old now.
No,
but,
it'll probably
but
be
Elizabeth Warren or some other liberal is going to come forward, and you're going to see the push for what they have in Canada and in Europe and in even Australia, which we never talk about. They have a kind of a single payer system. You're going to see a big push now for the single payer system.
Right. You're going to see a big push for socialism. People don't understand that obviously when you have socialism, you have a reduced quality of care.
Right.
People will die. It's just that it's the people that the government decides are going to die. It's not an exaggeration. You're going to have pharma companies who Bernie constantly makes the bane of our existence.
Do you
know how much it costs to bring a successful drug to market? All you like Bernie supporters, all you socialists. It could cost somewhere between $850 million and $1 billion just to bring it to market.
Who's going to do that in a socialist
system? And now you throw in that the patent life on drugs that get approved is not the usual length of time. It's down to 20 years now. And you're like, oh, 20 years, that's a long time, right? No, it's not. Because by the time you bring it to market, you test it, you market it, you get doctors to start writing it, at least 10 of those years go by. So the only period of time that drug companies have to make back what they invested in the creation of a drug is roughly 10, 12 years, Larry.
Right.
And if you think that's enough time, it really isn't.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's not as long as...
Now, I understand. It's cruel because you're talking about medicine and you're talking about people's lives. I get it. And there is greed involved, of course. But... you don't make the pharma companies the bad guys here, because if they decide it's not worth their effort, you can't see, Larry, we've said this. This is why healthcare is not a right, folks.
No, it's not.
All right? No right can be guaranteed that involves the coercion of someone to provide it to you. Okay? I have a right to my life, okay? But I can't force someone to give me life. Do you understand way of looking at it?
No, but it's not a right. Simply,
period.
It's not in the Bill of Rights. It's not a right. I understand that the left are pushing that. And I was watching some of the shows as I watched the other kind of like my Trump thing. I watched the shows. But they were talking, is it a right? Is it a privilege? And I'm sitting there saying, look, actually, it's just a necessity.
It's a market commodity.
You have to have it. You have to have some type of health care. Yeah. What are we going to do? Live like in medieval times where people died from like simple things that can be cured? The question comes down to this. What is the best system for providing it? Now, I once said on this show that my idea of the best health care system is if we could somehow get every health care provider in the country available in all 50 states, you go to a doctor. They check you out. They do a full...
Mm-hmm.
Here's your complete
workup.
Here's the diagnosis. You got this or this. You're healthy or not. Kind of like what they do like at Quest Diagnostics, but a full workup. Then I should be able to send it to any amount of healthcare providers I want around the country, whoever it is, and then send it to them and say, give me a monthly amount that you will cover me. But I do believe that I should be 100% covered. Whatever I'm paying for, I should never have to hear, we don't cover that. You cover everything from triple bypass to removing a splinter out of my ass. And what you do is you base it on the individual.
Of course.
So the problem with socialist systems is, look, I'm a reasonably healthy guy at 53 years old. I am. Okay. Not in great shape. And that is insured for $1 million. But I should be insured for the shape that I'm in. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do a lot of self-destructive things. Why should I pay for some heifer in the Middle East? I can do that.
That's the only dangerous thing he does.
Why should I pay for somebody who does a lot of self-destructive things and has poor health? You should pay what you have to pay for your health. Right. I pay for what? I would like a system that is totally individualized and I could send it out to and make them compete.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows? Maybe Humana says, we'll give you monthly coverage hypothetically for $500 right. a month. Now, again, I'm talking about I'm 100% covered. I don't want to hear about
That would come from each individual policy, right? You could pick one that only covers catastrophic. You could pick one that covers 100%.
I think you should just be covered.
But what if they should cover you for the amount.
But if they had to compete with each other, then somebody else might say, well, we'll give you the same coverage for $490.
Of course.
We'll give you the same 100% coverage for $480. As long as I make my payments,
absolutely. And that's what I wanted to say. Like, we have a system like that already in place. It's basically the system we have for life insurance.
Right.
People just don't see it as clearly because life insurance is after you die. So you're like, what the fuck, right? But look at how life insurance is priced and sold in this country, okay? It's based on your health, like, right?
Right.
I'm overweight. So that I get a little bit more added to my premium, but I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've never done drugs. I don't have any medical conditions that might be life-threatening,
Larry.
He doesn't
do drugs. He's like this normally.
Yeah. But my point is, my life insurance is, I think I'm at the, like, the preferred rate, you know, because I get a little bit better than the average rate because I don't drink, smoke, or do anything dangerous. I don't jump out of planes for recreation, shit like that. And guess what? Having that thing, I put myself up for bids, right? And I said, who's going to cover me? And then depending on if I want $250,000 term, Larry, it's like whatever it is, $15 a month. I want $1 million in coverage, it's going to cost me four times as much. People seem to get that type of insurance very intuitively.
Right.
No one bitches about that. Like, no one says, oh shit, unfortunately, I have 10 months to live. I want to go out and get a $10 million life insurance policy for my family. No one will write that policy.
No one's going to get that.
Because they'll never make their money back.
Right.
And we don't have a problem with that. People go, yeah, why should he?
Here's my point. If you do that for something like life insurance, why can't you do that?
Exactly. That's our point.
And the other thing is, I understand that, like, for instance, we still have, like, a national problem with obesity. Take that for an example. Okay. No, you're actually not that bad. You're fat, but you're not obese, filthy fat.
No, I got you.
I mean, look, I pass people in the street. They look like Haystacks Calhoun, if you know the reference. Okay? Your policy would be a lot more monthly than mine because I'm relatively slender. I'm in good shape. Yeah. But here's the thing. If somebody told me, like, let's say under the system I just described, suppose it cost me $500 a month. I'm hypothetical. Okay. That's hypothetical. Now, if you're much heavier, let's say they say it's going to cost you $800 a month, because you're not in such great shape. Wouldn't that motivate people to take better care of themselves? You know why? Because if you got skinnier and you took better care of yourself and you got into better shape, then it might cost you $700 a month or $600 a month or $500 a month or something, you know. In other words, I don't like the concept. See, the problem, and I really think we are moving towards a national system. But I really don't like the concept that, you know, you're going to be paying taxes and probably expensive into a pool and everyone's covered. But why am I paying to take care of you? If I take care of myself, why do I have to take care of, like, Midwestern heifers?
That's spread risk. And then the other thing, there's that. And then there's also the concept of it's healthcare, so we don't think we want people to die, which is, of course, you know, nobody wants anyone to die.
Well, that's interesting.
But here's the thing. Maybe you could even come up with a safety net thing, like people who have pre-existing conditions and things like that, from a governmental point of view. Not that I think that's the right choice, but maybe I could tolerate that if the rest of the system worked according to a free market system. Do you understand what I mean? Like, if we had a tax that only covered people with pre-existing conditions because they couldn't realistically go out and buy something. I would be okay with that. It's socialist. It's not free market. It's not a libertarian point of view. But then again, Milton Friedman also believed in a minimum income for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Because at some point you realize, I want to help take care of my fellow man. So fair enough. We're a prosperous country.
I want my fellow American citizen to have something.
But you got to fix the bigger picture first. Yeah. You can't have people who, just because they don't have a job necessarily, or because they're too lazy, or they live, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm not saying everybody's lazy who's not covered. But here's the thing. There's one plan out there that at least comes close to that. That's Rand Paul's decision. Rand Paul would open up the markets for everybody. Very clever. I read a synopsis of someone, our friend Dan Schmutter, the constitutional lawyer here, a high school buddy of mine, pointed out that what's ingenious about Rand Paul's solution, Larry, he would still even allow the insurance companies to be regulated by the states, but at least have them compete in every state, but only be regulated by the state of their choice. So in other words, say, I want to be regulated by Delaware. And if you think about it, we do that already, right?
Right.
You've got companies that sell nationally.
Right.
But where are they incorporated? Either Vegas, Nevada or Delaware for tax purposes, right?
All in Delaware.
Right? So why wouldn't you theoretically have the same thing for healthcare providers?
Okay.
That want to compete across state lines. See, the biggest problem right now for people, for these health companies, is if they try to sell in every state, they have to get 50 approvals. They have 50 regulators to deal with. They have the FD fucking A to deal with. So before, and that's another thing we want to remind people of, Larry, it's not just dollars and cents. It's also the regulatory bullshit that these companies, pharma companies, insurance companies, healthcare providers, they have to deal with.
They have to jump through hoops.
Okay.
Yep.
What was that movie? My wife made me watch, what was it? Dallas Buyers Club last night.
Oh, Dallas Buyers Club.
Which, by the way, I didn't think it was a great movie, but when you see Matthew McConaughey, he deserved an Oscar.
No, that was a fantastic performance.
When he emaciated himself, he looked like...
He did the De Niro, that made De Niro... His career was based on the method acting. He gained like 100-something pounds to be Raging Bull, or that he looked like a lunatic in Taxi Driver. Like he used to do. He doesn't do it anymore. But that's what McConaughey did in that movie. He really looked like a person who was dying of AIDS and emaciated.
And what was the point of that movie, Larry? That the FDA wouldn't let them try these drugs.
Try these drugs, right.
Right? Even with the caveat that it may kill them.
Right.
Right? And the FDA... Everybody points to thalidomide in the 60s, how they kept it out of the country, and by doing so, that we largely avoided the birth defects that really hit Europe hard.
Right.
Thalidomide was something that was given to women in Europe, approved in Europe, for morning sickness.
Right.
But because the FDA typically drags its heels in the U.S., it was never approved in the U.S., and then, of course, all those things turned out, the horrible things about thalidomide. Now, people always say that's a victory for the FDA, but people also forget how many people died because they couldn't get statins in time because the FDA dragged its heels, whereas Europe didn't. How many AIDS patients died because they couldn't get interferon?
Right. Right.
No, where it was allowed in the rest of the world, but not in the U.S.
Right.
See, you have to
get it cheap from Canada.
Yeah. That's the thing. You have to see. You only hear about the good shit the FDA does, supposedly.
Yeah.
You don't hear about the horrible things that have occurred from it. Okay, if you're dying, who the fuck cares what you put in your body? It's your choice.
It's your choice. If you wanted to take any drug, you know, do it.
Yeah.
If you think that going to a swami is going to, I mean, you know, they shouldn't be stepping and standing in your way. This is your life. And quite frankly, if you know that you have something and you're dying, I mean, well, obviously we're all going to die eventually, but if you're dying of something and you want to take the risk on something or some type of...
Or even anything that makes your life easier, gives you a better quality of life. You don't have to be dying. There's kids out there that have seizures, horrible grand mal seizures, 3-4 times a day. No approved medication helps them. You know what some studies show? Taking cannabis oil helps them.
Of course it does.
Okay.
This is like people with glaucoma and like other ways who smoke pot.
Because why is that illegal?
Yeah.
Why is that illegal? So anyway, our point being, if the FDA wants to issue recommendations on drugs, be an efficacy agency, fair enough. If you know, they can put their little stamp of approval on shit, Larry, but it doesn't prevent you from buying anything, okay? Yeah. But think about that, okay? So Rand Paul...
If they want to put like a warning label on stuff, like cigarettes, then go ahead. But don't stand in people's way. So Rand Paul.
So Rand Paul's plan would give us a degree of free market enterprise, having insurance companies compete across state lines, and still give a little bone back to the fucking regulators in D.C.
Yeah.
If Republicans had half a brain, Paul Ryan, forget Trump. We know he doesn't have a half a brain. And also, he's not a real Republican.
Actually, he has the best brain.
He has the best brain.
He watches the shows.
He has the best rube brain
ever. He uses the best words.
But anyway, our point there being, let's go with Rand Paul. We've tried socialism. It eats a dick. We've tried this Obamacare light. It was a non-starter. We know Obamacare eats ass. Forget it. Let's at least try a free market solution, folks, okay? It'll help more people. It'll bring down costs. It'll increase competition, okay? Those are beautiful words, Larry.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And the only problem is I don't think it's going to happen.
Republicans have a chance. They have 4 years. If they pass this shit.
This guy, Trump.
Okay? they'll get at least a chance to play with it. We gave Obamacare a chance.
Look at it this way. Rand Paul, I saw him in two different interviews. He said he tried to get into the room.
They couldn't
where they were, where they were, yeah. And they kept him out of the room
physically.
Why should I sit here? As much as I agreed with him on it, and he knows much more about the stuff than I do. There are aspects of healthcare I don't understand. Some of the things with the pricing and but I will say this: I'm listening to him, and he seems like a thoroughly knowledgeable guy.
And he's also a doctor.
And he's being kept out of the meetings. Why should I get? Why should I think? Oh, they're going to listen to him eventually.
Yeah.
What it's going to be is as the systems continue to break down. And it's too much money, and you've got people, still there's people who aren't covered, and poor people, and blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, you're going to see this in 2020. There's going to be a big, big push, finally, for the old Ted Kennedy-style socialist, national, single-payer system that he was actually advocating. Like back.
Well, what I'm hoping for, honestly, is that Republicans, hashtag Republicans, will be politically...
they don't have the will, the balls.
No, but I'm saying at least they'll be politically opportunistic. They know if they do nothing, they're all going to be out of office in 2018 and 2020.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they know that. There'll be midterm elections in 2018 where they're going to pay a heavy price because even the rubes will turn on them, okay?
Yeah.
So they got to do something. They can't just
sit back. I'm telling you right now, that's already coming.
Yeah.
The Republicans are going to get creamed in 2018.
Of course.
I'm telling you right now. And even though they're saying now... They're saying we're going to move on quickly to tax reform. Prediction right now, they fuck it up.
Of course.
They're going to come up with some stupid... Trump is going to come up with some stupid plan that favors the rich, and it's going to be a mess, and the Democrats are going to eat him on that, and then the wall's not doing anything right now. You notice, not talking about it very much. Mexicans aren't paying for it, blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, it's going to be this time next year, and people are going to be giving... Let me tell you something. The Democrats, I'm telling you right now, unless Trump gets some big wins, they're going to storm back. And then he's going to have either the Senate or the Congress or both. And then he's really going to get nothing done. The only thing that they're going to go along with is the $1 trillion infrastructure plan.
Yeah,
they'll go along with.
With it, which is FDR.
Roads, sewers, and all
more
that.
Socialism.
Yeah.
More government debt.
Yeah.
All right.
How do we pay for this shit? So,
enough of that, though.
All right.
And listen,
international now.
Let's go international and talk about this. England, the attack in London. Horrible. More savagery. Okay. Now, this is where people get confused, Larry, a little bit.
Okay.
Because we're anti-Trump, it doesn't mean we're pro-Muslim savagery.
No.
And obviously, before Trump ever came along on this show, we talked about it. We're very open about it. We call it what it is. It's Islamic terrorism. We call it what it is. It's not like a few bad apples from a peaceful religion, largely.
No, it's a global jihadist movement.
It's a global terrorist movement. They're much like we saw in Paris a while ago, it really consists of one savage getting in the car and just plowing people down in a crowded street.
Like Nice, like the Christmas market in Germany.
And this was
and a couple of other ones that didn't.
And this was
very
right where near Westminster Abbey. So there's a lot of that shit going on. Now, I will caution one thing though. You have to stop these extremists, you have to call it what it is. But at the same time, let's not make shit up. If you're a Republican, and Larry, this is what upset me during the thing. Like, I expect liberals and socialists and Democrats and other statists to start bitching about, like, oh, let's not overreact, and oh, don't call it Muslim terrorism because you'll have people overreact. No, we're not that. Those people I expect to act that way. But if you're a Republican, you know, there was that famous picture, Larry, of that woman pictured walking by a stricken, injured person who was wearing a hijab and talking on a cell phone. And while three or four people were tending to that person on the floor, she was pictured walking by. Every fucking Republican, starting with guys in office to right-wing commentators on The Blaze or Fox News, said, oh, look at that hijab woman being not caring, unfazed at all, probably happy that this happened, you know. No, it was a woman. If you look at her face, she's clearly in shock. She was walking by. She just happened to be walking by. I personally found three or four other pictures of people of other races walking by on cell phones while someone was being treated on the sidewalk over there for their injuries, okay? I saw one Asian. Does that mean Asians are unfazed or that they support Islamic terrorism, Larry, from that one picture? That's what I hate about it. Stop being rude, okay? You have plenty of ammunition, Larry, on the ideology of it, on the facts. Yeah. Why do you have to... I don't understand where the meanness comes in.
Because they can't keep their eye on the ball. And what's happening is, just by virtue of the fact that she's wearing a hijab, they assume, well, all right, she's obviously a Muslim. She probably thinks this is fine. She's enjoying herself. Right. You know, she supports all this stuff. You know, how many times can this be pointed out? There's 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. Do you really think they're all terrorists and that they all support this stuff? Don't be stupid. She was probably a tourist. I mean, she might have been a British citizen. I don't know. But she was probably a tourist, and she was, like, calling people. But everybody got that. Look, that's the instinct of everybody in the modern world. You get on your phone, film things. People take selfies. Look, people do shit like this. There's nothing new here, and she's not any different, and she's not involved. That was just horrible.
Yeah.
This is just because – this is happens because – the people doing these attacks, by and large, are, in fact, Muslims.
Of course.
And the problem is, you know, when people are hurt or people are angry, you know, they tend to lash out. So she's standing there with the hijab, and then it becomes, she must be like some insensitive, horrible. Because like John said, there's pictures of some Asian people walking by. Nobody said anything about them. So look, this is a horrible thing. And, you know, it's a little sad that it seems like they dropped the ball a little bit because this guy, I forgot his name, but he was on their radar. Yeah. You know, he's another one of those like fringe guys. They're like, well, we don't know if he's really dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And look what he did. And he stabbed some cop to death with some big knife. I mean, just horrible.
And I would challenge
the only
people.
Good news, he got killed by somebody who shot him.
The only challenge I would give to people, even when they say, well, he was on our list. I mean, unless you have evidence that someone's in part of a bigger conspiracy, how are you physically going to track all these individuals?
No, you can't.
You can't, all right? Yes. Like, you try to capture the big fish, you know what I mean? Like, where you say, this one's a leader of a cell, or this one's the guy who builds the bombs
or,
for the cell.
No, but or if you find an organization or a cell.
That's what I meant. Right, yeah, that's a different story, right? So keep that in mind. But, like, outside of the tragedy itself, it's a matter of how do you react if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, okay, if you're a Rube even. How do you react in a way that so there were so many people where the discussion should have been about Islamic terrorism, calling it what it is, putting it out there as Islamic terrorism, not domestic terrorism, not,
workplace violence
or however things. These fucking liberals. Like, you know, just because Obama was a cocksucker with never saying Islamic terrorism, right? We complained about that as well.
Right.
But really, you conservatives, you Republicans, you have to move past, well, Obama did the same thing. You have to move past that. Right. The same way you told Obama to move past, well, it's Bush's fault.
Right.
Okay? There's only so long you could say that before it's like, well, fix it, motherfucker. That's why you got elected.
Yeah, you're in power now. Then we were very forthright. I don't want to hear about George Bush. He's not in power anymore. Like, what the Democrats are doing is 2009, 2010, 2011. Anything they couldn't fix, or if the economy wasn't turning around, or they had to raise the debt ceiling, whatever, it somehow they managed to put it back to George Bush. I don't want to hear about fucking George Bush anymore. He's not in power. And you know what? I don't want to hear about Barack Obama right now. He's out. Thank God. He's an idiot. Goodbye. He's not in charge. Mr. Bush watches the shows. He's in charge. You wanted him, you got him. Okay, so look, I don't want to hear about Hillary Clinton and her new hairstyle. Look at the things they're actually covering and talking about out there. As far as this situation in Britain, this is going to be a problem now for a long time because look, they've got populations, non-white people living in their country, and they're not assimilating them. They don't do the job that we do. I'm not kidding. They don't do the job that we do. I would say this though, the mayor of London is a Muslim guy.
Muslim, yeah.
And he said a very stupid thing. I didn't like what he said.
What did he say?
He made a comment that these kind of attacks are just now part of life. And that's
he said that?
Yeah, he did.
I missed that.
He goes, it's part and parcel with living in a big city. Something like that.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's nuts. Hello, mayor of London. That is a stupid fucking thing to say. He said, that's what he said. It's part and parcel with living in a big city. I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? No, it's not. And do a better job of finding these assholes and tracking them down and stopping them before they kill people. It's not supposed to be, this is the new normal. Guess what? You're going to lose people from time to time. Get the fuck out of here.
That's horrible.
That's ridiculous. And the part of the problem here is, and you're seeing this in France, you're seeing it in Sweden, there are these real problem that, they're so, I don't know what's going on over there, but they're so dying to prove that they're not racist. They're just letting like people come in and flood in and like and set it. And you're reading these stories about the like the Swedish woman who says she runs home from work because she doesn't want to be walking the streets at night because she might get attacked or raped. And that there's all these guys who are like Afghan refugees and other people who hang out under bridges and like on street corners and will like harass her and touch. This is insane. What are you people proving?
Yeah.
You have to have, this is what I always say, forget the wall. You just need some type of reasonable border security, airport security. And you just need to have a reasonable idea of who's coming and going, like a head count. I actually don't care who comes in this country.
That's you want the to, whole
you know,
point.
This is the whole thing. You know, when this stuff, when Trump first proposed this wall, you know, just leaving London aside for one second.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I said is, you know what will never pass because it's a great idea? Okay, they're talking about all the illegals in this country. It's like 11, 12 million people. They're mostly Hispanic, right? Okay. Democrats want to talk about that. Republicans want to talk about border security. So my solution was, how about 100% amnesty for everybody here who's here illegally? Just make them citizens. They want to be here. They're working. They're doing shit. They obviously want to be a part of this country.
Right.
How about 100% amnesty for 100% border security? And I said that on a show. I said, the Republicans will agree to the 100% amnesty and the Democrats will agree to 100% border security. And about 2 days later, not that he gets his ideas from this show, but about 2 days later, I saw Krauthammer say it on Fox. I don't know if he watches this show, but I must tell you, that's my idea of like a good plan.
If Krauthammer watches this show,
shame on you.
Awesome. Hopefully he walks away with our ideas on jizz as well.
No, but I'm not kidding. I saw him on the O'Reilly program, and he said the same thing. And I went, hey. Because like, you know what it is? When you say things, like you associate with yourself.
Right? You know what's
but like, I think like the Europeans are going to have to do a better job of tightening up their borders. All this open borders, terrible idea. Worried that you're going to be perceived as racist? Stop worrying about it. You're not. You're probably not, and that's ridiculous.
But who cares?
And well, all right.
You're a sovereign nation. Who cares?
Yeah, and then the other thing is that you're going to have to do a better job of assimilating, or they're going to have to try and be a part of your
government. Yeah, part of
something's wrong because they're just there are pockets of people.
Part of the problem in Europe is that they essentially set up ghettos for Muslims.
Yeah.
Meaning, not ghetto in the sense that it's poor or whatever necessarily, just that they have sections of town that become Muslim.
Right, they have dense populations.
And that leads that leads to radicalization, alienization. It prevents assimilation, but it also leads to radicalization.
Right.
Because you don't have to go far to find people who are disenfranchised because they're living in a fucking ghetto, okay? So that's part of the problem. I'm not saying you build stuff. I'm not saying it even comes at the expense of everybody else. But you just try to work on it the way we do here.
You can't have what basically is the larger white society going about their lives. They're free. They're happy. They're living life. You know, like in France, it's so beautiful in Paris and people are sitting in like cafes and drink. You can't have that. Then you have people like living out in the outskirts in pretty shitty conditions.
Well,
if you're going to let people in your country, you're going to have to make them part of your country. You're going to have to find ways to assimilate them in.
Well, part of what we did in this country or used to do was that we only allowed people with skills into the country.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what you base it on, not religion, not anything, but what can you contribute to society? Or how can you not be a burden to society?
Yeah.
Maybe
well, look at it that way. Like Canada does that if you want.
Well, so, like you have to work there and stuff like that. Last thing I wanted to talk about, Larry, is as we touched on this is, you have Republicans who overreact to the news. We said that, right?
Yeah.
So they have a picture of everything. But it works both ways because with a lot of Republicans, you also start to eat your own.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
How do you say her name?
Tommy Lahren.
Tommy Lahren.
Yes.
Little blonde, kind of perky, I guess.
From Texas.
From Texicus.
Texas.
The darling of the right.
Yeah.
You know, she's Little Miss Firebrand and all that, right? Yeah. And cutie and all that whole nine yards. Everyone wants to bend her over that desk and rail her a couple of times, I'm sure. Even the church-going Republicans wouldn't mind doing that, I would think.
Yeah, already older.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right.
So she got in trouble because?
She came out as being pro-choice. Oh, my God. Not only is she a hottie, now I agree with her.
On The View. She came out on The View. With the rest of the cackling heads over there. And I mean, the reaction was unbelievable. She got either fired or suspended from the Blaze, where the show is, which is the Glenn Beck owned operation.
Right.
No, no, wait. Or is that the Bright? Well, no, no, it's Glenn. It's, no, it's Glenn Beck.
It's Beck.
Yeah, Breitbart has his
own outfit.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the question I have for you: are you trying to tell me that all her other positions were spot on, but because she thinks she's pro-choice? And I don't even know if she said she was pro-choice as much as she said she doesn't want government involved in that choice at all. Meaning not being pro-life as a matter of policy, right?
Right.
But either way, it's amazing to me when people eat their own, Larry.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You know, liberals do that, too. But
Both parties do it, but in this case it was Republicans.
It's conservatives going after one of their own for heresy.
Did you enjoy that or what?
What, that they went after?
They turned on
them. It's just more of the, you know, look, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, is that something you just, but it goes to show you that each ideology, each party have certain things that you're not allowed to
talk about.
But you can't cross the line. you can't, you know, like I was reading that story about that Democrat senator from West Virginia, Manchin.
Yeah.
And he's not towing the line on, like, he voted for a lot of Trump's, like, secretary, you know, appointments, and he got in a lot of trouble, like. And like apparently some Democrats like privately gave him what for not towing the line. So here she is, she's in trouble with conservatives. I think it's ridiculous. Like I happen to be pro-choice, so I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
But it's funny because like from a libertarian point of view, obviously you had someone like Austin Peterson who was one of the leading candidates for at least running on the 2020 ticket. I think he might run for Senate in Tennessee or Kentucky, one of those states.
I think he's in Tennessee.
Once it's west of the Bronx, I couldn't give a shit where it is. But anyway,
that's true. We consider the New Jersey to be right.
It's all part of the same big group state, as far as I'm concerned, until you hit California. But anyway, but what's interesting is libertarians themselves. People assume that all libertarians are pro-choice, and that's not the case. There really is a divide in the libertarian camp.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When a libertarian says he's pro-choice, like Larry, or a libertarian tells you he's pro-life, like me, we can articulate our position beyond religion. Okay?
Yeah.
I happen to think you could be pro-life as a libertarian because at some point that thing is an individual bestowed with their inherent rights as individuals.
But do you want the government telling people
what
to do? No,
the government is out. The government is out.
You want any amendments to the Constitution?
No,
banning,
no. I think if you have any laws that pertain to the fetus, they already exist. You know?
Yeah.
So to me, you don't need any pro-life amendments or any shit like that. Larry can articulate his position for being pro-choice as a libertarian, okay?
Yeah.
But for us, it's okay. It's just like a libertarian really just means leave me the fuck alone.
Right.
What, you know, if you go to my Facebook page and you look at my avatar, you know what it says, Larry? Libertarians always plotting to take over the world and leave you alone.
And leave you alone.
That's our mantra, man. Like, a true libertarian president would probably get elected, dismantle all of government, and then resign. In an ideal world, okay?
Yeah.
Or most of government in an ideal world. We're not anarchists, but we want to keep it that way.
No, but the government should be small and, in my opinion, like basically supervisory and sticking to the things that they do well.
Just be a referee.
The Pentagon,
CIA. You need the state.
You need
defense.
You need a
functioning
justice.
You need justice.
Right.
You need the Department of Justice.
The IRS needs to be scaled down tremendously.
The IRS needs to be fucking eliminated.
They should just be processing whatever your tax returns.
Because taxation is theft to begin with.
That's right. You should have like a flat rate of 15%. You can do your tax on a postcard. We need people to process this is a postcard. And go and shut up and go away.
And go fuck yourself.
Go fuck your partner.
But speaking of fucking people.
Yeah. So,
did you notice though that there's, you know, so up until now, I would say, Larry, that the hottest broads when it comes to political commentary, let's be honest, they're all on Fox.
It's Rachel Maddow. Yeah, of course. And they hire them that way specifically. The Roger Ailes.
There's a formula.
The Roger Ailes formula, even though people make jokes that this is like an oxymoron. Yes, I know, but it was his formula that they started with in 1996 was we're going to find very, very good looking women who are very smart. and will articulate a point of view that's mostly right of center.
That most women don't.
And right. So you've got, you know, you got Kimberly Guilfoyle, you've got Ainsley Earhart, who's the blonde now on The Morning Show. Martha McCallum, I think, actually is very smart. I mean, some of them are kind of. Dana Perino is very smart.
You had Tataris there for a while.
Yeah, Tataris. She's not blonde, but she was there for a while. She's still pursuing her sexual discrimination laws. One of the ones who did, Gretchen Carlson, who was blonde, left. But
Megyn Kelly was there, and then she left.
And she left.
So the point is, they really just packed it with hot broads.
Yeah.
To talk about issues.
Jedediah Abela, who left and went is now on The View.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that.
But here's the thing. You gotta watch out, because much like the NFL, it's a copycat league, Larry.
Right.
When something succeeds, everybody wants to bite off a piece of that. And right now, the left is starting to come up with its own hotties, right?
Right.
So who is that woman on the Young Turks? Anna Kasparian, the Armenian
girl? Oh, yeah, the gypsy. Yeah.
Dumb as the day is long.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Oh, good. I was afraid you were gonna say, and smart too. I was gonna have to contradict you.
No, they just got, they got down the piece of ass part.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
Yeah.
Because she's a piece of ass, but she's, you know, she's caught. I'm not going to, there's no two ways around it.
She's simple,
extremely fuckable, but, you know.
She's
a simpleton, or comes off as a simpleton, however you want to say it. Like, she's the one, what's that, well, like, while you're banging her and she starts moaning or whatever, and she's, oh, what do you want me to do? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Just like, just take it, Larry.
You just put this ball gag on. I don't know, listen to you.
Yeah, just shut up. But anyway, so my point is, we got to start watching out. If you're a libertarian or you're a Republican and you got your hot broad spitting out your point of views, you got to watch out, because there's one now, Larry, out there doing Politically Blonde. So there's a show out there called Politically Blonde.
Right.
The host there is this hot blonde.
Yeah.
Krista Robel. Now, you should look, anything that comes out of that mouth of hers, as privy as it is, and as much as Larry and I can picture stuff going into her mouth repeatedly, like that, you got to watch out. She is fucking hot.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
And she don't mind showing off the goods. She's a good capitalist, as much as what she talks about is entirely too socialist, Larry.
Yeah, she's very left-wing.
She's followed, like, the capitalist mantra of, you get the goods out there.
What's the name of the show again?
Politically Blonde.
That's right. Okay.
So look that up on YouTube, Politically Blonde. I think she has a channel out there, Politically Blonde. She's on Facebook if you want to look it up. Look it up, because...
How's Robel spelled?
R-O-B-E-L-L-E? Yeah,
Robel.
Belly.
Bell.
Belly. Belly. Whatever. It's not like you pay attention to how she spells her name when you check out this broad letter.
No, but if you're trying to look her up, you can't just look up under Krista. I mean, it's like a hot blonde.
And just to show you, we couldn't give a fuck what was coming out of her mouth. We're very open-minded in that sense.
No, I mute it.
Shut the fuck up. Just show us your tits, please. We're horrible males.
Yes.
So much for that, all you guys on Twitter that call us gay.
Je suis pigs.
Je suis.
So
I hope she doesn't watch this. Because then we have no chance of scoring with her now.
According to Bernie Sanders, nobody watches this.
Yeah, I was actually quite proud. I got a couple more liberals on Twitter to tell me to go fuck myself. And there's a few that have completely blocked me.
That's my favorite thing. The people block you. I'm actually not interested in the people who respond, because these are people who are willing to actually fight with them. I'm interested in the people who can't take it. Like, you're out!
Stop it! You're blocked. And you know what's good about Twitter now? Twitter changed their policy now. Once somebody blocks you, it's not like you can't talk to them. That used to be the thing. Like, if someone blocked you, you couldn't follow them or whatever. Now when they block you, you can't even see the tweets they put out to someone else. Shows up as a blank on Twitter now if you're not familiar with Twitter. So, for example, somebody had forwarded out some broad, I don't even know her name. It was like, her handle is like the Magic Plum or some shit like that. Some really left-wing feminist bitch, you know. And I just sent her one tweet once. Like, she wrote something utterly stupid. Like, something you might hear Krista say on Politically Blonde. Like, something like, feed the people or some shit like that. Trump's a slave master, whatever the case may be, right?
Nazi.
So I just responded to her with some snarky. I don't even remember what it was. I got blocked, like, as soon as I hit send. By the time my hand came off the fucking thing, it was like, you're blunt. You fucking Nazi. You fascist motherfucker. Go fuck yourself. Now you won't be privy to the knowledge of my tweets anymore.
That's like Lawrence O'Donnell. And he had to inform the masses. John said in the tweet, like, you should put quotes around inform. Put it on masses.
But I give O'Donnell credit. At least they replied to me and he said that was funny.
Yeah, but he's a cunt.
Yeah, he is. What can you do?
You know how stupid he is? It's bad enough that a couple of weeks ago, Rachel Maddow sent him with 2 pages of tax
returns. Didn't she read it before she got on the air? That's my question. Yes.
But she does this horrible show, and I'm watching it. It's going nowhere.
It's like Al Capone's ball.
They're just speculating, yes. And that other Hayes comes out, and he's like, oh, this is so exciting. But each show, it's just like Fox. They do the handoff.
Yeah.
They go like, come here now, Lawrence. And they talk to each other for a second. Yeah. Enjoy your show. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. Lawrence O'Donnell comes out at the end of the show. He goes, this is so riveting. He goes, Rachel, come down from your studio. Apparently, they're right next to each other. He goes, come on down the line. We're going to keep talking about it. So another hour. So on top of her hour of nothing, we had an hour of him saying that Rachel Maddow, some white guy with the gray hair, I forget his name, who got the reporter who got it left in his mailbox. They showed up. So now you got another hour of just nothing and speculating. And all they found out was that he claimed he made $150 million that year and he paid $38 million in taxes.
And by the way.
Look, I don't like this asshole, but $38 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, but let's face it,
they were expecting to find out he paid like $10.
But let's also be honest, okay?
Yes.
I'm not putting it beyond this that Trump himself planted that.
Yeah, oh, please.
First of all, that fucking tax return was from when?
2005.
Okay, so it's a 12-year-old tax return. Maybe something since his kid was born might have been a little more thing. And do you think there's any coincidence that you got one that showed that he paid a reasonable amount of taxes for his wealth?
Yeah.
That didn't have any other outstanding sort of thing? But this was so, to me.
This is what ties in.
Yeah.
But didn't they look at it?
Exactly.
They should have. If anything, it makes him look good.
Yeah.
I mean, he paid $38 million in taxes, which is a 25% rate.
You couldn't have sat on it for even one day if you're the only one with this fucking thing, or just have a CPA read it an hour before the show. Come on, you fucking assholes. And I guarantee you, in my mind, to my thinking, this was a Trump plant.
Yeah,
somebody put it in there. Because like I said, okay, why don't you show me the 2014 tax returns? Maybe that has a little something to do with it. Or even if he's being audited, they don't go back more than 7 years. So show me something from 2010.
Or
2009, whatever. Yeah. All right? So obviously a plant. And you fucking rubes on the left, unlike the rubes on the right, just fell for it. And on top of that, it made for horrible TV.
See, but you know what it is? They can't control themselves. Like when Dan Rather ran with the story about George Bush and the National Guard turned out to be wrong. You can't do things like that. You have to check these things. And why would you think that 2 pages of taxes, my taxes are even 11 pages. Why would you think that 2 pages of taxes from 2005 would prove conclusively like anything? I mean, unless it showed that he made $150 million and he only paid like $200,000.
As it was.
I mean, unless you find something that's really shocking, couldn't you have looked at this and go, wow, this is really
You know what's nothing. Hilarious? And of course, all the right-wingers were ready to go with the graphics that showed that Bernie
paid 12%. Obama paid 17%.
All these, Elizabeth Warren, all these left-wing heroes paid a lot less in taxes. Yeah. Percentage-wise, than Trump did.
Yes.
If you don't think that wasn't a plant, you're a fucking rube.
Yeah.
And if you're on the left, do yourself a favor. Read these things before you go on the air.
Yeah.
What's his face say? Geraldo Rivera?
Yeah.
He goes, that's it. I'm no longer the laughingstock with Al Capone's vault. You guys are now.
Yeah, he did. And
at least with Al Capone's vault, it wasn't Rivera's fault. Because they opened it live.
They opened it live, and he was hoping to find, like, treasures and money.
Or bodies.
And there was nothing in there but, like roaches crawling around. But that way, he did say that. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, he has a good sense of humor about it.
At least.
Because he went on some other shows, and they made fun of him, but they reminded him of it. But at any rate.
All right, so let's wrap up the show. Hopefully, we had a good one here, Larry, in the new studio, the new setup.
Watch the riot.
Watch the riot.
Watch Politically Blonde.
Yep, give her a shot, like we said.
A shot.
Oh-hoo!
My eye.
But, dumb as a rock, but, you know, but someone to look at.
I don't feel that way about you.
Larry has a huge hard-on for Krista.
Yes, I do. Especially when I found out she's from my tribe. So
Larry, make a pitch to Krista to cross party lines in a show of unity and a show of...
If you do that, I will actually consent to having sex with you.
There you go. Larry's being magnanimous, Krista, so give it a shot. All right.
All right.
Until next week when we do this nonsense again, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
Peace, America.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.